our agenda is very, has got two items, briefing by the department on the first and second quarter reports, expenditure, and then we have the consideration and adoption of the committee report on road accident benefits program. I'm going to reorganize the agenda so that we can be able to start with the consideration and the adoption of the committee report on RAPS bill. And then we'll come to the first item, which is briefing by the department on the first and second quarter expenditure. You are all heartily welcome, and I hope that some people, there is still some bit of space here. If at all you feel something crunchy, there's some bit of space that you can be able to utilize from this end than to just be standing. Cindy will consider that. We'll go and ask the people who are supposed to deal with the matter. Like I indicated, members, let's look at the report of the Portfolio Committee on RAPS bill. Assuming that it has been read because it was sent to honorable members yesterday, any issue that needs to be raised? Honorable Humsinga.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have observed that this is a second format of the report. Since I recall from the previous meeting that there's been a report which this is the second variation of the report. Could you please just explain the difference between the two reports and the reason why the second report substantially differs from the previous one that was submitted to the committee?
Honorable member, we're not even going to go there, because last week when we dealt with the report, we said we don't agree with how the report was formatted, and we requested the team to go and look into the report, were able to get the thrust, because you would recall, honorable member, we said we're not going to take the thesis like I put it last week, and that thesis forms the part of this report. So the thesis can be raised in parliament if a need arise. If there's nothing, can I check with honorable members, honorable Ramatakan?
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. The report as tabled from the previous meeting, I'm happy because it captured, extended some of the things included in the report, the services that we undertaken for provinces. All of that is captured. So I'm happy with the report, including part 2 or 3 of the report, including the call. And I move that we accept the report, obviously with the understanding that we have an annexure of the report.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm just looking at the report. I just want to understand. So where it comes to the dissenting view, you said a team. I'm interested in who that team is. You've decided what our view is on our behalf. Is that correct?
I I think the team captured the thrust of what transpired in last week's meeting. Honorable De Freitas.
So you put here the dissenting view of the Democratic Alliance. Myself and all my colleagues was part of the team that you talk of. So I just want to just confirm that this team you talk of decided on our behalf what our position should be.
If you think it like that, it's fine.
So I want to confirm that you said that you have decided what our position is, and you put in the report as such, without consulting the DA.
Honorable Panza, Honorable Siyabi, Honorable Ramataka.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think that's not a true reflection of what transpired in our last meeting. We had a lengthy discussion as a committee. And all issues that are captured here, Chair, were issues that were discussed at the committee. So I think the team of the Secretariat put what was discussed at the committee. So it's not their view, but it's the view of the committee, and they are presenting it before us to see exactly what was discussed and transpired at the committee meeting. And I think my honorable colleague Ramatlakane has spoken to what has been presented by the team of the Secretariat of the committee, and he has expressed his satisfaction with the manner in which the report is captured, of which I also support, Chair. And second, what my colleague has moved in regard to this report that is presented, because it is indeed what was captured, and I think we should move in this way and accept it as a committee report, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Siyabi.
Now, thanks, Chair. Just to refresh our colleagues' mind that in our last meeting, we didn't use the word reject. We reject the way the report was captured and requested the Secretariat to go and write the report. But in the same meeting, we adopted the thrust of a paragraph that represents the minority. And the way the report is written today, I think it captures the views that were expressed in our last meeting. And we even said the report must be written in line with the rules, in particular Rule 288. And as one looks at the report, to an extent, it has captured what is directed by the rules. I would also support that we adopt the report as a committee.
Can I see by show of hands those who agrees with the report? Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. SEFF, we received this report yesterday afternoon. This 2 pages report we received it yesterday. So we sat down and tried to discuss it and check it. But we are of the view that as per the introduction on the background of the bill, it says clearly that there were so many financial and legal stakeholders were contacted. We don't know whether on the entire report, whether it was taken into consideration, the view of the legal fraternity and the financial report, more especially because we don't see the legal opinion from Parliament from the report itself. And however, we have some few clarity question which we need to be clear if possible, so as to maybe to also to lodge the minority report on behalf of the EFF. So we checked the several amendments which were made to the bill, which changed the shape of the bill from its initial stage. And you will remember when the bill was drafted the first time, there was the actual report in terms of financial implication. So after the amendments thereof on the same year, and also the input from Treasury, we wanted to know whether there was any further report from the actuaries to check the viability of the bill in order to check whether the RAF together with the RAF, how are they going to be financially sustainable? So, because remember before the March amendment which was made in the financial input by the Treasurer.
Can I cut you there? The committee deliberated extensively on the legality, the financial issues, how RAFs and RAF are going to be working, and we have so agreed there's an A list which we dealt with 3 weeks ago, which actually has got all those pointers that you are talking to. Unfortunately, the member who's supposed to be here on behalf of the EFF has never attended, not a single thing. And now we cannot rewind and trace the what we have been doing since May today. I would request honourable member that you look at the A list as we have discussed. We dealt with clause by clause. If honourable member can be able to look into that, it will be able to give you the pointers and the indicators as to the actuarial report, the legal issues which were there, how have we been able to deal with, because there was no stand-alone issue. Whenever we came across something that is legal, we would request the state law advisor, the legal person from Parliament, to be able to go and look into that, and then it gets factored into the report. I was saying, I want to check those who are for the report and those who are against the report. We vote on this report, and then it gets over and done with. Those who are for the report.
The question.
Honourable members, we're not going to procrastinate like we did last week. We need to be done and over with on this report. Honourable Humsinga.
Thank you, Chair. And Chair, I really beg for your indulgence so that we get the opportunity to raise very important points. My colleague from the EFF, Honourable Advocate Balawutsi, requested an opportunity to submit a minority report on behalf of the EFF. I also note the content of the report in rejection of the previous report, the report that was submitted here today. And in relation to both of these aspects, I want to point your attention, Chair, to Rule 166 and 288, where it clearly states that this committee must, in addition to the views represented by the majority in the committee, express any views of the minority. And therefore, I regard it as an appropriate time to request, as my colleague did from the EFF, to submit a minority report in addition to what was tabled here today. And I also draw your attention to Rule 288, where it says where it is not a unanimous report, which this is, to specify in which respects and why there was not consensus. So it's all about balance and granting the opportunity so that we can have a relevant and an appropriate debate in the House. And by trying to eliminate the input which we are offering, in order so that we can have a sensible debate in the House. Clearly, Chair, is not what is written in both rules 166 and in particular in 288. So I therefore beg you, Chair, to allow firstly the submission which and the opportunity which my colleague has requested from the EFF. And in addition to that, I also want to submit that after reading the report that was tabled here today, that only 10 elements was raised which the DA had particular concerns of. Whereas in the report which the DA submitted for inclusion in this committee report, over 30 aspects has been raised.
Honourable Member, we dealt with this matter last week extensively, and we're not going to rehash what we did last week. And that is why I'm saying, honourable members, having read the report, for us, we believe that a good job has been done by the team which was drafting the report. Unfortunately, EFF can still have their own report tabled in when we debate in Parliament. For the past 3 weeks,
that won't be part
we
of
have
the
been,
committee report.
For the past 3 weeks, we have been dealing with minority report. Where was the EFF? They want to take us 3 weeks back. No ways. I'm not going to allow that. They can be able to go and raise those matters in the podium in Parliament. I'm not going to allow that. What we're going to do here is to look at the report and be able to say, do we agree with the report or don't we agree with the report? Because, members, I started with this knowing that it's going to be very short and concise. But for EFF to come, after the last three Tuesdays, we're dealing with the minority as proposed by the DA. And last week we reached a consensus to say these are the issues in line with the rule 288 that we're going to be putting into the report. And now the DA wants to take us back to all the issues that you raise in your report. It's good you raise it to the public of the Republic in Parliament as we will be adopting this report. Honourable Ramatakana, as Honourable Simpande, Honourable Ramatakana, I'm closing it. I'm closing it.
I respected you, if I listen to the speaker before me, there seems to be understanding that each party needs to submit their report as a minority report. That thing does not exist in rules.
Yes, it does.
The rules.
Can you switch off your mic, Honourable?
Chair, I was interrupted. I was still busy talking.
Can you switch off your mic, Honourable?
Will you allow me another opportunity to talk,
Chair? Can you switch off your mic, Honourable?
No, Chair, all I'm saying is that the rule 228 gives the committee this responsibility that in reflection of the minority of the report, it has to take into account the views convey the views of minority.
The rule doesn't say it. Honourable Defractors, I beg your indulgence. When you speak, no one speaks on the podium. This is a meeting, a formal meeting. You need to be allow the chairperson to point you. And don't speak when other people are speaking. It's agitating and irritating.
Yes.
Please.
Are you letting me speak?
No
time?
No, Honourable, let me just say, Chair, I didn't interrupt the Honourable when he was speaking.
Because you were allowed to speak.
Honourable Defractor, if you don't want to be in my meeting, don't keep on interrupting. If you don't want to be in my meeting, stop interrupting other people while they are on the podium.
Are you letting me speak,
Chair? It's agitating. I'll decide whether I give you a platform to speak or not. But stop interrupting other people because they don't. We are in a formal meeting here. You cannot speak as and when you wish.
You're trying to silence the opposition.
You cannot speak as and when you wish.
Exactly.
If I so feel, I can.
Yes, exactly. You said it. I'm glad to be in court.
Continue, Honorable Ramatakane.
Chair, I have moved that we adopt the report. And the report has been drafted as before. I have made the proposal that we adopt the report. It does capture the conveys where there are no disagreements. The rest, I think the honorable members of the committee and the committee, they will present their case in the House on this basis. That's where they will debate it. But for now, I think that it will be unfair for us to now reopen the process that has gone through a long period to accommodate other views that are very new that are coming here. I think it will be some tantamount for undermining the process that we have been embarked upon throughout this period. So I still want to say that my proposal is with respect to others, that I remove the adoption of this report.
Honorable members, I don't want to reopen. I have said that the report having been moved for adoption and having been seconded, I want to see those who are saying they agree with the report as is. I want to see show of hand of the people who are saying they are agreeing with the report. By vote, yes? Seven hands I'm seeing. Okay. Those who are against the report being adopted, thank you very much. Can we move to the next agenda item? I would request somebody to move for the adoption of the report. Is there a seconder?
I saw second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let's move to the next agenda item, which is the briefing by the Department of Transport. Can we get the briefing from the department?
Chair, we'd like to note our objection. We're not even given that opportunity.
The objection is noted.
And there's a hand up.
The objection is noted. Let's proceed.
So hands. Ignore the hand. Hands are the upper level. What's up? Why not?
Chair, would you please allow me to raise a point of order?
Let's proceed with the quarterly report.
At the end of the
meeting, you can raise that point of order.
I want to put it on record that the adoption of this committee report is illegal, irrational, and an abuse of power. Thank you.
That's what you raised. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We proceed. It has been adopted. Seven agreed to. Three not agreeing to it. We're moving on. Never.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members of the portfolio committee, our colleagues from the Department of Transport, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for inviting us, the Honorable Chairperson and members, to come and present to yourselves the quarter one and quarter two of our performance at the Department of Transport. We'll go through the non-performance information, the non-financial information, and then we'll deal with the financial information. So we take turns in doing that. So that is what we are going to do. Chairperson, we are not going to be dwelling much on the progress made where we achieved. We want to focus mainly on the areas where we did not achieve. So, and also to deal with the issues as to why and how are we going to be turning the corner. But it's good to talk to the first quarter overall performance overview, where the report focuses on the progress made with the implementation of programs and projects for the period covering the April to June 2018. And the focus of the report is on the optimal performance of deliverables in terms of the MTF, that is 17, 18, and 19, 20 financial year. And the report is also compliant with the relevant statutory requirements that we need. The quarter one of this overall performance, we had targets that were planned, and there were 26 in quarter one. And the number of targets that were not achieved were 9, and those that were achieved were 8. And the overall performance of the department was sitting at 65%. You can look at the slide 5, I think. Yes, we are now at slide 5, where we scored the overall total score is 65%. I want us to go straight to the non-achieved areas, non-achieved. That is slide 16 on this report. I do not want to bother the portfolio committee on where we achieved. I just want us to see where we did not achieve and the reasons why we did not achieve those targets. If you look at slide 17, slide 17, the number of community outreach campaigns as our program number one, which is administration, conducted on gender, disability, and youth and children, GDYC, you could see that we planned to go to the Eastern Cape to render these services in terms of our performance indicator. Unfortunately, the province has prioritized other activities in such a manner that it was difficult, therefore, to converge and make this a reality and a success. But we are having a consultative meeting with them so that we can also come back to a target that as was planned. So there are serious discussions between the province and ourselves on this matter, on this performance indicator. So we hope that by the end of the financial year, we would have covered all these areas. The second one under Program 2, which is ICT, and that is the Green Transport Strategy to be implemented. We also wanted to look into this. The strategy was not approved because the consultative processes were delayed. And we couldn't achieve this because we could not submit it to Cabinet as per this quarter. But we are pushing hard that the consultation process with the stakeholders and the input, we are convincing everyone to have the input so that we consolidate this and we submit as per our performance indicator. So we're working with very hard with the remaining provinces in consultation, so that these awareness campaigns could be achieved. On Program 3, which is rail transport, there is a national rail bill that was supposed to be submitted to Parliament by 2020. There are critical issues here which we needed to, national rail list has not been finalized. This is insofar as, again, you see, when you consult with your other departments, you know, very much so, DP is very central to this for this bill to be to pass, especially in Cabinet before it goes to Parliament. So these are the consultative processes that we have at sister departments and also at a provincial level where we needed to finalize the consultation with these role players and the stakeholders. So that one is very critical, especially DPE is very critical insofar as this is concerned. And we want to work with them so closely so that we understand each other and so that we move forward together. So that is where the critical challenges are. One of them is that one, which is our sister department, which are having a meeting with them very soon. On Program 4, which is roads, you can see that, in fact, the funding chapter that we're talking about here is part of the road policy for South Africa. It is not necessarily the Access Road Development Plan. So this is a subset of, which is covered under the roads policy for South Africa. So we just want to say the funding chapter, therefore, goes across, not necessarily on this Access Road Development Plan, but this is a subset of the road policy for South Africa, which is well in advance now, and this is a chapter which is now migrated to that chapter. That's why we did not really make that effort as per this performance indicator, but all our efforts were now on the road policy for South Africa, which has got four chapters. That is road safety, access, community access roads, the non-motorized transport, as well as the funding chapter. That is the forecast area. That is why this one might be a little bit misplaced, but we would like to talk about it when we're finalizing everything in terms of which I just wanted to highlight that so that it mustn't be, we need to deal with that kind of a confusion. On the other side of program four, the founding legislation of road entities as per the performance indicator. This one we recorded as a non-achievement because on the when we are dealing with the internal auditors in agreement in the strategic planning session among ourselves, the road accident fund as an entity was not supposed to be part of the four of the five entities under road to be reviewed in terms of their funding legislation. Committee members and the chairperson, you recall that we are undergoing a very rigorous step to restructure the RAF to RAPS. So in other words, it was not supposed to be part of this. But anyway, we have consulted with them because the consultation was going ahead anyway. So we want to say in this quarter, in the quarter two, we would want to make sure that everything that is here to be consulted, including the road accident fund, although it was not planned to be like this, we are going to be consulting on that one. The consultation has been going ahead, but we had to sideline this one and exclude it in the processes of founding legislation because it has got its direct route and very excluded route in terms of an approach. So we are well ahead with that, with Parliament. So that is why I just wanted to clarify this. But the rest, in terms of the draft founding legislation of entities, road entities in particular, by March 2020, we would like this to be in cabinet. That is our target, and we want to make sure that we meet that target. The implementation of the Export Company Amendment Act monitored. We had a little bit of an anomaly here where there has been some processes, internal processes, that has been letting us down. We needed to consult widely with quite a number of beyond our exco meetings in the department, but there are other internal processes in terms of other entities within the Department of Transport which also needed to be engaged on these subjects beyond our executive committee meeting as the Department of Transport. So other 12 entities also had to be consulted, and also our sister department had to be consulted on this. So that is why we are very confident that we are going to make up the lost ground on this one by the end of the financial year, the fourth quarter. We are going to be making sure that all these targets are met as planned. Similarly with the ATNS, it's the same story. The aviation sector has been having those kind of delays in terms of consultation, which we are making sure that we are moving with speed so that everyone is not left behind insofar as the consultation is concerned. This one is a little bit of a challenge to us, the merchant shipping bill that we are looking to submit to Parliament by 2020. But we want to believe that we will meet this performance indicator. But the nature of this business and the interest it is attracting from the industry, it's so huge in such a manner that the delays, therefore, are taking a little bit longer than we anticipated. So we want to make sure that everyone is participating and everyone is more participate, giving us input so that when we consolidate the bill for Parliament, it does talk to that. So that is where here also we are having some challenges. And the members, the stakeholders are not cooperating enough as stakeholders that are being consulted with the input. They are not feeding us back with the input. That's the problem. But we are going to be doing our level best to make sure that everyone submits the input. The Transport Appeal Tribunal, which is the TAT bill, was submitted, has to be submitted to Cabinet by March 2019. The processes here, we still have to go through the consultation process with NEDLAC. There has been some other consultation processes which I think we are going to be overcoming come the second quarter, and we need to make sure that all the delays that have been here as under the public transport unit are doing their level best so that we go back to the network processes as say our TID, the technical indicator description. That is how far we can go with this in terms of non-achievement. I did not want us to talk, to waste too much of our time in terms of what is it that we achieved. Just wanted to highlight where we did not perform very well. So that was the undertaking we made, Honourable Chairperson. Then we will allow the financial component to be handled by our acting CFO, Dalian Mabula, to take us through the quarter one expenditure program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acting DG. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members and Executive Members of the Department. I will take the cue from the DG. I will present slide 27, which presents the expenditure per program of the Department. The total Department's budget is 59.8 billion. By the end of the quarter, the expenditure was 9.9 billion. And then the underspending was 50 million, and then which translates to 17% in total of spending. The 17% the 17% was mainly due to 12% of the transfer to Prata, which was withheld in the first quarter. We didn't transfer anything on capital program of Prata, and also the 8% under public transport, which is mainly due to the financial year of the public transport, the municipal financial year, which starts in July. And then the other areas that I will take members on is per program in terms of underspending. Program one on the same slide, the 29 million is mainly on goods and services and compensation of employees. Is the office accommodation invoices, which we have not yet received. The department was busy engaging the public works. There were some challenges in terms of invoicing the department, where the department has picked up that the amount that was charged for the department was not on the square meter rating in terms of the office space that's been accommodated by the department. So we are busy reconciling the invoices with public works so that we can get the correct amount and the correct invoicing so that we can start correcting invoicing as correctly. And then on program two, it's mainly on the net map and the white paper, white policy paper on transport. And then on rail, as I've already alluded to, there's no over underspending. It's mainly due to the capital program. And road transport, the 179 million is not the overspending. What happens because of the Dollar Act that was approved around April, May. So by then, during the finalization of the budget process, but when the E&E is finalized, the budget is finalized, we align the Dollar Act with the budget that has been approved. So mainly it was the correction of the alignment of the Dollar Act with the allocated budget, because provinces are given opportunity to provide the department with the inputs on how, on their milestone, on how they're going to spend. So sometimes if their milestone is different from what the department was projected during the during the budget process, we do reconsider that, and it's part of the Dollar Act, and then we reconcile that, we correct that alignment. The 26 million under civil aviation is also the goods and safeties, mainly the housekeeping safeties. We still have not yet paid the invoice. The department is still engaging the service provider on that one, mainly because the tender was, the tender ended, and then after the tender, then the department had to, Telkom in quoted the department more money, double the amount that was budgeted for. So the department was busy with the engagement with Telkom to reconsider the quotation that they provided the department with. Hence, we have withdrawn the process of paying the invoice. They didn't invoice us up to date. And then also under public transport, we also did the revision of the public transport operation grant. And also the other underspending in that area was mainly on the taxi review model and the ITPN, integrated transport, public transport network in district municipalities. So I'll also take members, the reason for those over and underspending are also detailed in slide number 28 and number 29. And I'll also take the members through the economic classification on slide number 30, which indicates the spend in terms of items on compensation of employee. The over and underspending reflected there is we are underspending by 22 million, but there is a progress in terms of filling of vacancy in the department. The reason for that mainly is due to vacancy rate, and if the vacancy rate is most on high level position, then the underspending will be huge, as those positions are consuming a lot of money. And then on the goods and services, as I've already alluded, it's mainly due to those projects of ITPN, the housekeeping services, and the office accommodation, as I've already explained, and the Shuva Galula project. And the transfer still reflects, as I've explained earlier on as well, about the revision of the payment schedule for the public transport operation grant and for public transport for the PRMG as well. And then the machinery and equipment is mainly only because we have started, we don't usually put more money on machinery and equipment because it's treated as capital. To shift any funds from that item, we need treasury approvals. So currently, because we have started filling positions in the department, we are buying furniture and office equipment for the officials. Hence, they start 88,000 more like overspend. It's not necessarily overspend. We corrected it. We keep on correcting it as the expenditure is incurred. Payment of financial capital asset is also the leave gratuities, because sometimes we don't know who are the officials that will leave the department. So if the department owes them the money for leave gratuities, the money is paid through under that particular item. And the direct charge as well, we usually pay the direct charge. The direct charge, the 10 million there below, is not part of the department's budget. It's a direct charge. It's the money that is collected by SARS on behalf of the department, which is paid to oil compensation fund. It's a membership fee that we pay, and we usually pay it around the end, before the end of the financial year, since we wait for SARS to collect the money and then for the country to also invoice the department. The details also for those for the over and under spend is also on slide number 31. I will end there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, colleagues. We will try to get to the second quarter information, performance information, non-financial as well as financial information. We'll take you from what we said in the first quarter. Just to say also report focusing mainly on the progress made between that July and September 2018, focusing on the same MTS. Plan targets were 31, achieved 24, not achieved there was 7. That means that gets us to 77% of performance of the department. We will then look at where we did not perform well, where we non-achievements were. Firstly, it will be on the, as we indicated in the first quarter, it's more or less that one which we're talking about, the challenges that the rail branch had insofar as the non-performance of our extended hand to accomplish to meet the target as planned, but now they corrected this, so this one is going to be history moving forward. Some concerns, this unit, this service role was assisting the rail branch to consolidate all the input as per the first quarter, but they were not doing a good job. That is why they were lacking in terms of consultation and so forth and so forth. So the rail branch has sorted out this one. So now, so this one is going to be done now in-house. There's no problem. So that this unit has been capacitated to deal with that because we can't rely on these other people. So the access road as well, we said the funding chapter still has the quarter one report, but we are very optimistic that come December this year, this will be submitted to cabinet. We are very adamant because there's no more on our critical path. On the side of the anti-fraud, this one is quite a focus area because most of our road crashes are as a result of this, where people are buying licenses and some other vehicles, they don't see the test piece. So we need to make sure that this one is canvassed throughout all the JCPS cluster. And the one that is now still outstanding to be consulted in the JCPS cluster is the NTA. So that meeting is still outstanding, but this has been scheduled now by program for colleagues, the roads branch colleagues, to engage with them so that we conclude the participation in terms of the consultation in terms of this. This one, I want to say this, the ACSA now is in Parliament, is in a parliamentary program. We have submitted this, and it is now en route to the parliamentary program. I think we are catching up with this, so it will not be a challenge any further. On slide 55, there's an error there on deviation for reason for deviation. It should be ATNS. They're not ASA. I mean, on the last but one column, it should be ATNS. They were talking about implementation of the ATNS Amendment Act being monitored. Again, this one also, ASA and ATNS are both in the parliamentary processes program. Program 5, the air services bill submitted to cabinet by March. There has been a new requirement in as far as this one is concerned. So that is why it has to be consolidated in such a manner that it talks to a new requirement by the asset cluster, so that by the time it goes to cabinet, it has addressed all the issues. It was tabled at the asset cluster of DGs and the ministers. There was a discussion about some legal opinion, the legality of this, and also the tourism sector. DELCO and everyone else had some input. That is why now they wanted some new requirements to be added to this bill so that it can go through. So we are addressing those sister departments so that we are on the same page with them, including tourism and the airport that is at the NDF. So that is where we are now with this one. So we are engaging with the colleagues in those departments. The Merchant Shipping Bill submitted to Parliament by March 2020. This is the same as quarter one. We are asking our colleagues to please push this one as hard as we can so that by 2020 we don't have no one not consulted, because it has a serious implication in the heart in terms of ocean's economy and the operation Pakistan. So we would like everyone to be involved in this. So the asset class has asked us to do a little bit of a step so that the CS, a final CS certificate can be issued. But once we have consulted with everyone, we'll go back to the asset cluster of ministers, of DGs and ministers, and then it will move through. We don't anticipate any non-performance on this one come March 2020. We want to believe that, and we are very adamant that come the 2020, the merchant ship bill will be submitted by March 2020. All the clusters of DGs and the clusters of ministers are going to be seeing this before, way before that time. So that is why our team is working very hard. The maritime branch is working very hard to make sure that cooperation is improved between all the role players and the stakeholders. I just wanted to end there in terms of the non-performance, I mean the non-financial performance of the department. Then I would hand over to my colleague, Dalian, to take us through the quarter two financial information. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'll also take members to the slide number 59. Most reasons for the, I'll focus again maybe on the column for under and overspending. Most reasons that I've alluded before in the first quarter, there are still some reasons for the over and underspending. On program one, still mainly still in office accommodation. On this one, we've reached the final process with Public Works. Last week, we had a meeting with the Public Works and their DG, working on towards embracing us and how much is outstanding from the department that we need to pay and how much we've been able to correct from their incorrect invoicing. And the other underspending mainly in that area, because 56 million in that area on food and safety is mainly on accommodation. That entire 49 million is because they didn't invoice us, they only invoiced us 2 million in this current year. So that is constituting more overspending, around 80% of underspending in program one for in that 48 million. October transport month is around 15 million because they've not yet paid the invoice for the October transport month. We are still busy with the processing of those invoices. On program two, I'll focus also on program three. On program three, the 6.3 billion is the capital transfer for PRASA. In the first quarter, the drawing was revised in such a way that non-request capital programs was not requested on a monthly basis. We're only requesting operational budget. Then from July, we requested the capital program budget for PRASA in case that there's a need to transfer some funds there. Because if there's no funds in the departmental bank, we'll not be able to transfer and we'll have to, still have to go through treasury process. But from October, we also went back and revised it again. While we are monitoring their spending, that 6.3 billion is currently in the department. We have not transferred, we transferred only the operational part. And then again on road transport, time to time, the payment schedule for conditional grants are revised. Sometimes it's based on the compliance process. If the province is not complying, line of DORA Act, or the municipality is not complying, funds are withheld. And if they are withheld, sometimes we request another date while we are giving them opportunity to provide the document that we are requesting from them, which might also delay their spending. And then that's when we start to amend the payment schedule. So there was mainly the alignment of the PRFG again. As compared to the first quarter, it was based on the DORA and not yet spending, but during the year we keep on monitoring the compliances of the conditional grant. Where there's no compliances, we propose the shifting of funds to another month, and sometimes we have to revise time and again. And then again on public transport, mainly the underspending on public transport is also the payment schedule for the public transport operation grant, again same as the previous quarter. And another reason for that, it was the City of Tshwane payment that was also withheld due to the non-compliance, because if the provinces and municipalities are not complying with the funds are withheld and proposed another date, or we reallocate funds based on the engagement with municipalities or provinces. Which takes us to the total underspend of 7 billion, but the majority is the 6.3 billion. In that area, in terms of transfer, is the main area that we might underspend in that area in the department, since we have not, and from April, we have not transferred any capital funds to PRASA due to the spending on their capital side. And I'll also go to the slide 62. On expenditure per economic classification again. On compensation of employee, there is underspending of 34 million. As we have alluded earlier, saying the more the majority of posts that are at high level vacancy, the more the overexpenditure will be high. But if you compare in terms of the 10% vacancy rate when we're checking it, we're looking at what has been published on the ESE versus what has been filled. which were which was more or less than 10% in terms of vacancy rate, looking at the funded allocated post. And then on goods and services, it's still the watchkeeping services, the office accommodation, 50% there is office accommodation, because we have still not transferred around 54 million. And then taxi review model, and the integrated transport, public transport network. In some other areas, funds are earmarked, and if they are earmarked, the department cannot reprioritize those funds towards other areas. You need parliamentary process, you need treasury in order to revise those allocated funds. Especially in public transport area, those amounts for IPTS are earmarked. And then the transfer is still the PRASA issue of underspending. And then machinery and equipment is the same reasons as I explained earlier. And then on goods and services, the department during the second quarter, they have gone on embankment on the revision of the procurement plan, where they've shifted funds to other priorities to improve spending in those areas. But in other areas, as I've already explained, the program one in terms of office accommodation and other areas, funds cannot be reprioritized in those areas. It's mainly for those invoices that are still outstanding. I will end there, Chair. Thank you. There's no anticipation of over and underspend. It will be on compensation of employees and also on transfer, but on goods and services, there will be no underspend.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let's hand over to you, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Honourable members, there we are. Honourable Humsinga, I see your hand. I see the hand of Honourable Mulaudzi, Honourable Siavi, Honourable Sibande, and Honourable Ramakrakana. Let it come from the extreme, Honourable Humsinga.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I'm glad our line has been re-established. It seems like we had a bad connection earlier this morning. thank you also to the department.
No, I was traveling on the mountain.
Thank you, Chair, also for the department for the report. Just in reflection on, you know, what we just went through in terms of the BRRR, in comparison to what we are looking at now, you know, in terms of a forward perspective and a current situation. Sadly enough, the department, in terms of all the SOEs and agencies and departments that we have, we've seen the least number of clean audit findings, only 4 out of the 14. Yet I don't really see any alignment to KPIs around that on a commitment to improve the situation, because surely this leaves a lot of room for improvement, since we've only had 3 out of the 14 with unqualified, with no findings. Secondly, I've got an overarching concern that relates in particular to this around under expenditure. There's a total net under expenditure of 4.8 billion rands. Looking at the different programs within administration, we've seen a 7.8 million under expenditure, and in the same department or the same program administration, we've seen a 7.2 over expenditure. So just a specific comment then on that particular program with a near sort of under and over expenditure of the same amount, which really comments on planning and budget sort of forecasting. Then in terms of integrated transport planning, we've seen a 1.1 million rand under expenditure. In rail, we've seen a 4.8 billion rand under expenditure in a field where there's really a big need for improvement. Let alone the need for expansion of the service. On road transport, we've seen an under expenditure of 4 million, civil aviation 3.4 million, and in maritime two different numbers, 7.6 billion and 1.4 million. And then in the last program, which is public transport, we've seen a 5 million and a 52 million under expenditure. So just the whole vibe around the different programs and the focus on the necessity to plan instead of having money left at the end of the day. Because it surely, on the other hand, also shouldn't be about just spending the money. And in that respect, I must applaud the department for watching that expenditure is spent on necessary programs and necessary projects, and that money is even withdrawn, like we've seen, rather than to just spend it for the sake of spending, because it shouldn't just be about compliance around this, but about adding services. So then just in summary, the biggest under expenditure was in rail transport, which was about, 24.8% of the total allocated 19.3 billion, which raises particular questions. So to what extent are we seeing and going to see plans to make sure that that's not being repeated, because surely this also talks of systemic problems, and it's not just a matter of realigning expenditure, budgets and planning and so on, but real intervention as to streamline financial administrative processes, but then also procurement and also the expansion of that particular program. Then, Chair, the last aspect that I just want to raise is the one around the high vacancy rates. The department has got a vacancy rate of something of 25.9% vacancy rate. And in terms of the programs, in maritime, as much as 83.9% vacancy rate, which is shocking. So if you could just tell us in what way this would be addressed, because surely one could submit a strong argument for reassessment of the necessity of all those positions, and whether it's not a matter of sort of a redesign of the structure, and whether that's not necessary, because one is constantly fighting, you know, these vacancy rate percentages, and whether all these posts are really necessary. Then in program 7, we've got the second highest vacancy rate, something of 31.6%, and then lastly in civil aviation, 30.7%. So if you could just speak to that and also indicate where in the planning are these aspects addressed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lusinga. I'm going to be taking two honorable members and then request the department to respond. And I'll also say to honorable members, you can deal with both quarters at the same time as you're dealing with the issues that you're going to be raising. Honorable De Freitas, are you okay? Honorable Dr. Maisera, are you fine then? Advocate Mulauzi?
Thank you very much. Again, let me say thanks to the department presentation.
Oh, by the way, earlier on, in where he comes from, the area of Chakuma, if you want to get a network, you go up the mountain. So I was still down the valley. That's why I did not catch the network with him.
Okay, Chairperson, thank you very much. So, the department, I hope you about your quarter one report. Although you missed 9 targets, we'll appreciate maybe in the next time you must get more than 80%. We must strive to 400%. 65% is still very low. I want to check with you are underspending, as you said, you will concentrate on them, the non-achievement on the ITP. When you said the green on the corrective measures, you said the green transport strategy was approved by the government in the second quarter. and public awareness campaign daily comments in three provinces. When is it going to start to commence? Because we must get the time frame for these provinces you want to start. And can you also tell us which provinces are you targeting to start with? Secondly, on the correction, just on the rail transport, you said the stakeholder consultation to be prioritized once critical issues impacting on the bill have been addressed. And when are you going to rectify such? And also on the civil aviation, on program number 5, your corrective measures, you said that the presentation of the draft regulation to the ESCO will be done in the second quarter. And what will be the next step from there? Can you tell us, as a professional committee, what will be the next step after the ESCO entertainment? The same apply on the civil aviation in terms of the ATM. Yes, what are the next steps after the second quarter, because it's already done there. Together with the program 7 of the public transport, about the TAT, the Transport Appeal Tribunal. As you said, that the matter has been introduced to NEDLAC. So what is the next step from now to complete the assessment? And lastly, Chairperson, is about the vacancy rates also. The acting DDG, make sure that maybe in the second quarter report or the third quarter report we'll get some reduction of the vacancy rate. Thank you very much.
Let me remind honorable members that ATLS and ACSA bills are with us here in the committee. They are supposed to be published for public comments. So as we are talking towards the those, who must always put it in mind that they arrived and we have been dealing with the RAPS bill and felt that towards the end of the RAPS bill, we will be able to publicize those so that we can be able to deal with them. Can I request the acting DG and your team to respond to the two honorable members so that we don't lose track of the issues as raised.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I think the first one, the KPIs on an entities in terms of the department performance, I think we did respond to that at our last meeting. When we are presenting our performance, our annual performance plan, this matter was also raised by honourable member. I remember very well because we were engaging like this. I don't mind repeating what we said last time. We said the KPIs in terms of the oversight issues, the involvement of the Department of Transport, insofar as that is concerned. I think I drew the members' attention on how the entities report to the shareholder and the accounting authority being the board, and then the CEO being the accounting officer. So in that kind of an arrangement, the board is held accountable in terms of what is happening there as an accounting authority on behalf of the shareholder. And then I further said, as the department who is accountable for Board 35, we do engage with them like we did between PRASA and RSR in making sure that they work together. There's now and again the issues of engagement where the minister will have the CEOs and the chairperson's meeting where he chairs those two so that we check the performance now and again. And after that, there is a CEO's forum where it's checked by the DG where we check on performance and assist them wherever they need some assistance. On the issues of governance, We do have a dedicated unit which is called the Governance Council, the Governance Oversight Unit, which the Minister has established to deal with the issues of board appointments, the CEOs, and all those kind of governance issues at the board level. I think I wanted just to repeat that so that we can refresh our memories. It's quite been a time when we met on the matter, but I'm glad that we can respond in that fashion as well today. And then on the issue of under expenditure, I think I'll let it to my colleague Daniel to look into that in terms of the under and over expenditure and the planning issues around that in terms of our supply chain issues and stuff like that. I will ask my colleague to deal with that. But what I can say is not necessarily the planning, the lack of the planning capacity within the department. It's a matter of us dealing with the issues and prioritizing our procurement plan so that it talks to the issues at hand and also the focus areas that we have identified as a department. But it's not at all, it's not about the failure of planning or the lack of the capacity to plan well ahead. So it's progressive, but we need to find out exactly and we put our efforts in making sure that we will deal with the issues and reprioritization processes within the department as well. That is where we are now. So I just wanted to say, but I will leave it to my colleague, Dalian, to deal with the rest. The high vacancy rate is high. I remember we did deal with this. I think there was a commitment from also the executive authority of the department, the minister, to say he would like to appoint the DDGs. He wanted to appoint the DG, then the DDGs, so that he does not appoint the DDGs for the DG. So he wanted that process to be to follow like that. But at the look of things, you remember that we did advertise all five positions, the vacant positions of DDGs. There's a process of sifting as we speak today, with a view to fill them in very shortly. That is handled by the minister and the selection committee that has been assembled by the minister himself. So that process is going to be concluding before the end of this financial year. And those five DDGs will have to be presented to cabinet for approval. And after that, all the remainder of the vacant positions, like your chief directors, your directors, and further down, which is our SMS members, are going to follow suit in terms of those appointments. So we are eating into the backlog. We start with the five DDGs, which has been a vacancy for some time. And the minister and his team that he has assembled, they are dealing with that. So we are very optimistic that come in the new financial year, would have dealt with the vacancy rate in the department divided. So I would like us to put that on record. Right, the advocate, yes, we appreciate, we are not happy with the 65% we got on quarter one. You remember that those bills were holding the aviation branch back, that's why we dropped in the first quarter. We dropped badly, but we have assisted ourselves as a collective with the Department of Transport. So that they also rise. We see that they are now at 40% because of that. But I think we need to deal with the smartness also of our targets because as the chairperson said, the bills now are with Parliament. So we need to deal with that moving forward in terms of the smartness of our targets. But 9 out of 10, it has been the consultation process that has been letting us down. And the inputs have not been coming forward, so we are dealing with that, checking up our systems also to make sure that we do get the input from the public on time so that we deal with the issues of this. The ITP, the Green Transport Strategy, yes, Cabinet passed and they asked us to go and now consult widely in all 9 provinces. We have started with the 3 provinces. I'm not too sure which ones, but my colleague Ramanzi will assist me which ones we visited. And so that we can see which ones are planned for visitation in terms of the further consultation as per the cabinet instruction. So we will take 10 and then we can clarify on that one. Well, I did not hear quite on Program 5, the bills, but I think the chairperson and assisted us with that. So on the bills of the ATNS and ATSA, the progress as to where they are now, we would like to deal with that. I mean, to end it there. That's where the progress, the process is now. So the TAT, I will ask my colleague to say where we are now, and my colleague Matamata will take us through as to, on that Program 7, as to what next is going to happen on the TAT issue once it has gone through this process up until now. So I'll ask my colleague Matamata to take us through that so that we can track and trace where the progress is. But definitely the vacancy rate by the third quarter, we would see a different, not necessarily a different picture, because we are already ushering into the third quarter. But definitely on the fourth quarter, I want to believe that we see the different picture altogether in terms of the vacancy rate of the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think on compensation of employee, the department is open and understanding across different programs, as I've alluded earlier on. On COE, as the DJ already explained, on the process that the department is undertaking on filling of posts. On goods and services, yes, we are still open underspending in other areas, but we are not anticipating underspending at the end of the financial year. Because we have done the revision of the procurement plan in the second quarter, like on Monday, yesterday, we were finalizing the revision of the procurement plan in line with the adjustment, and there were areas where we requested unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure where we didn't receive funds. So those areas also will cater them through the adjusted budget process. So we have done the revision. And the issue of the invoicing of office accommodation, those funds you cannot process them because it's for office accommodation mainly so. Because we're overcharged and then we have to correct that invoicing process. And then while Public Works is still working with us, they indicated that currently we have to pay around 68 million there. So definitely we'll be spending on office accommodation. Program 1 will be sitting the way it is by the end of the year. And then program 2 is roughly around 9 million, which has been shifted. We have reprocessed the budget as I've indicated in terms of the procurement plan of the department in line with the APP. And the other projects like Hamba Songe and the ITP and the Shuva Kalula are already in the BAC. We're also spending those areas as well by the end of the year. Goods and services over and under spending across programs will not over spend in those areas. And the critical areas, the PASA areas, but the rail branch will add on that area. What I know is that apart from withholding the capital program budget, there was also a capital committee program from the department where officials who are working with PRASA in terms of establishing their milestone in line with their procurement plan. Because the other matter is that the department cannot just transfer the funds if there's no spending, in that area. And another challenge is that when we require to get that money from treasury perspective, it's also the interest from the country perspective, because that money is borrowed. If we have to withdraw it and kept it in the bank account of the department, it's not adding value to the country as is. Hence, there's a team in the department working with PRASA on their procurement plan based on their milestones on how are we going to transfer money for capital programs and how are they going to spend. And then that process was the one that assisted in terms also of revising their payment schedule. And that process is also that assisted in terms of the identification of the shifting of the 3 billion to the stimulation of the economy. It's part of the adjusted budget. The report is only covered in the second quarter, but the third quarter will be reflected on changes that we have made during the adjusted budget process. So that's in terms of rate, that's what I know.
I thought that Mr. Mkonyama will be responding.
Yeah. I wanted to chairperson through you. I just want Ramanzi to take us through on the three provinces, as was asked by Advocate Mulaozi, Honorable Mulaozi.
And then we would request our colleague Mokonyama to take us through on the TNT issues. And what then, once they are in this now, in this process, where are we taking them further and what are the steps to be followed? I will request first Ramaz to take us through, then Mokonyama will come in. Thank you.
Thanks, honorable members. Thanks, DG. In the second quarter, we have already consulted with Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the Western Cape. And we anticipate that in the next two quarters, which is quarter three and quarter four, we are going to go to Gauteng, Northwest, and Northern Cape in one quarter. And the final quarter, we will do Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Free State. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The Transport Appeal Tribunal, we did go to NEDLAC. We were given a go-ahead. We have also in the second quarter then approached GPME for the SEAS, the Socioeconomic Impact Assessment Certification. And then the next steps is to go through to the clusters, the DG clusters and the ministers cluster, and then to cabinet for those amendments on the TNT bill. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I will continue, Honorable Mpanza, Honorable Siabi. Let me get it from you.
I'm covered, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable
Siabi,
Honorable Sibande,
you'll
follow.
Honorable Mlauzi is leaving before we throw in the objection.
Got a court.
No, he doesn't withdraw the objection. He wants to reject.
No, I raised the hand. You didn't give me a chance to.
No.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, he raised the hand, he wanted to withdraw. Yep. No, thanks, Chair. On slides 20 and 21, I see, and other slides, I see a reason for not performing. It's because of delays due to internal processes. And in some instances, it's due to capacity challenges. We can just be brief. What do we mean by internal processes? I just take it for granted that the capacity challenges refers to human resource issues. If that is the case, then my question would be, by the time you were planning, you were already aware of human resource challenges. And how can you plan for a failure? Because you were already aware about human resource challenges. Comparing page 32 and 75, I think it's on the expenditure part. I just want to focus on PRASA, because it is also colored differently. I think the 18 billion is an annual budget. If it's true, I just take it for granted that on cash flow projection per quarter, if 18 billion is 100%, then cash flow projections on a quarterly basis should be 25%. I'm not sure. But I see on the cash flow projection in quarter one is about I'm comparing slides 32 and 75. Do you find? 71, slides 32 and 71. So on cash flow projection in quarter one is about 2 billion. On cash projection in slide in quarter two is about 10 billion. Expenditure 2 billion, expenditure 3 billion. But at the same time, on 71, there's an under expenditure of 6.3 billion. But in your comment, you said this money was not transferred to PRASA. How do they spend it when it is not there? Transferred to PRASA. Yeah, I think for now let me pause there and hear what is happening. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sibande.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'll start by saying to the department, thank you very much, maybe to come and help yourself. But nevertheless, we are going to interact with your presentation. Mine, Chairperson, there is an issue which was covered by my colleague this side, but I might touch it before I give it to you again. It's slide 13, issue of TIF. Okay. No, this is too much. Like now, you indicate that you have calculated and analyzed. The issue is that when is it going to be finalized? Because this thing is coming. For an example, the scraping of taxes started with, if I'm not mistaken, it was 15,000 or 25,000 in taxes. It goes up to 50,000 to 75,000. You know, when is it going to be finalized? And then again, Chairperson number two, the issue of slide, which is slide number 73, the PRMG, Provincial Road Maintenance. To me, there is I'm worried, Chairperson, in which sense? We, you know, I don't know what. I mean, in your programs, do you have any mechanism to monitor how is this money being spent? Because we're experiencing problems whereby I used to call it a choke. We don't have potholes anymore, but we do have potholes. Where is that money going to? Is it going to the, I mean, where is it supposed to go, or where is that money going to? Because it doesn't have to last. Each and every time you come and present to us that this money is going to this and this and this, but you don't have a proper mechanism of monitoring how is that money is being spent. Because to me there is a contradiction that you have a grant, we have money which is supposed to go to the province, but it doesn't, I mean, do what is supposed to be done. And then also the issue of national road safety. I wanted to find out, because previously I can't remember which month, but towards November, some time ago, each and every year, there is a collaboration between taxi association, coming closer to the department, maybe addressing a national safety program, even to set roadblocks together in order to minimize some of the problems or the challenges we're facing in our roads. But so far this time, nothing is yet visible. Where are you? And when is it going to start, if possible? And then also, which the issue of public transport. With the public transport, Chairperson, if you go slide 74, which they are saying, so far the money which has been spent,
43%, who's like 24, they talk about 8%. Maybe we'll clarify as well that one, that which is which. Because another thing, 8%, if you go to the public transport, you know, to be realistic, who are the most vulnerable people? Does that particular budget goes to assist those people? Because if you go to the, I mean, historically background looking with these special programs, how it was being done to us, taking people away from the cities, from the places of working, to far away. You know, there is a joke with some people from international when they visit South Africa. What you find in township, mostly in the fence, in the dumping site, you find plastic bags. Means that people are working far, but when they come back, it's only plastic bags. In town, you won't get plastic bags hanging there. And also, but still, it's like 2,500 mistakes. So huge money is never been spent. You spoke about the 24, about 8%, which was, you know, why? Because the really, really people who are affected, they don't enjoy what's supposed to be enjoyed. The last one is that one of my colleague of the issue of the process that you, because you indicated that since, if I'm not mistaken, March, you never gave them any money. But at the end, you are speaking about understanding. With this clarify that, so that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. The issue of clarity on the internal processes, delays, and capacity plan for failure. I think the internal processes here, it covers quite a number of areas. It will be the processes of inside the department where we consult among ourselves thoroughly as the different modes of departments. You got seven. But critical to this, we have to consult all the branches within the department. That is where we talk about some are not available at a point in time so that we finalize it. That's another process that is within the department. The way we are structured, this is what causes some of these delays. But we are dealing with that. Like I said, we are prioritized. But engagements, structured engagements by a particular, like your aviation branch, to have everyone under one roof at a form of an expo, so that we are under one roof, then we discuss matters that relate to that. I'm making an example. So the capacity, therefore, is not that we are planning for any failure of some sort. It's a matter of, the overlap in terms of that, and also reprioritizing by other branches so that we consolidate this. That is one. The second one is the delays, because we have to consult with the entities further, because at the end of the day, you find that they are also the implementers of these programs, the bills, in fact, we're moving forward. They are going to be assisting us to implement. They are our implementing hands to come to that effect. So those delays, they are our babies. In fact, that's why we call them internal processes and issues. We can't leave them behind. They're just with us wherever we go so that we are all together. So it's not necessarily a failure to plan properly. It's a matter of a variety of stakeholders and role players to be consulted so that everyone cannot be left behind. That is what the clarity is on the internal processes and capacity. In some instances, you find that the procurement processes, if they are not submitted properly, they will be rejected, come back, review, and so forth and so forth. Those are other issues, but it's just a minute percentage of that. But bulk of it is our in-house, which will talk to the branches inside the department, and including our entities outside, because they also our implementation arm of any policies that we implement. So that is where we are. I just wanted to clarify that one. Slides on expenditure in terms of 32 and 71, I will ask my colleague to take us through that one so that we deal with the issues. On the issue of taxi recap, I would like my colleague to talk to us. We had just one of the meetings that we had this morning where we discussed some other overarching issues and strategy to deal with the public transport funding in South Africa. So I will ask Matawaka to take us through that. We're coming from that meeting this morning. Mr. Mohan is here around. Yes, I would like Mr. Mohan, he's our acting DDG role. So I would like him to enter into the space of debate and discussion on the monitoring mechanism for the PRMG. We'll also chip in if there's a need. And also to the issues of PTOG, I will request that our colleagues can also, Matawata can take us through that. The transfer, the money side, let me ask Dalia to take us through that. Then we can come back to the question. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's clarify the slide 32 and 71. What usually happens at the beginning of the financial year in April is part of the requirement in terms of Public Finance Management Act that we take the total budget and divide it over 12 months period of the financial year. That's where we'll see the column cash flow projections on our presentation. So what happened in the first quarter in case of PRASA? The whole quarter we didn't request, there was no money requested from Treasury. What happens, we request money monthly from Treasury and we transfer to public entities or provinces, we pay. Now it's in the bank account of the department. So in the first quarter, we didn't withdraw money from Treasury to our bank account for the first quarter for capital of PRASA. That's what happened. We only requested the operational budget of 2.2 billion. And then the reflection of the expenditure of 2.2 billion is what we have requested and what we have transferred. The expenditure is in the on the side of the department, not on the side of PRASA. And then again, in the only I may just interject, why didn't you request money for capital expenditure for PRASA from Treasury? It was based on the reason of the funds that were still in the bank account of PRASA. We realized that there's still 14 billion in the PRASA account.
How much?
4 billion. It was 14 billion.
14 billion in the account of PRASA.
Yes, in terms of
which is a capital expenditure fund.
Yes.
Which has not been utilized.
Yes.
Well, okay.
And then in that case, the department with Treasury. Hence, I've indicated earlier on that there's a capital program committee where the department is working with PRASA to assist them in terms of procurement and projections of the spending of their capital budget. Because on the operation side, they are spending. So there's an assistance from the department in that area. Because the major issue is that if that money, even if we request it, it comes to the department, if it's not going to be spent to as PRASA as well, it's going to be a loss. And then even if we keep in the department, Treasury, those monies, they borrow them before they are transferred to the department. So what we do, we request Treasury to revise the drawing, but it's still the money that's been allocated to the department. Should there be a requirement, we just revise the drawing and we transfer money to PRASA. It's not shifted anymore. It's still under PRASA, it's still appropriated as budget for PRASA. So once they start improving in terms of their spending, money will be transferred. And then in the on the slide 71, what we did, we started to request money from Treasury to the department so that we do have funds, so that should there be a need in PRASA in terms of capital programs, we are able to transfer immediately. Because in the first quarter, the only money that we had, it was only on operations. And then that's what happened. That's why on the slide 71, there is money that has been withheld, is sitting in the departmental bank account, not yet transferred to PRASA. But if there is any request from PRASA side, from the progress, from the milestone and the projection that they have been working with on the department, we'll be able to transfer it immediately, instead of the process of going back to Treasury requesting it and delaying the process. Mainly that is the difference. On the first quarter, we requested 2.2 billion, which we transferred all of it to PRASA, hence it's an expenditure there, and there's no over and under spending on that slide 32. But on slide 71, the reason why it reflects under spending is because that money is still in the department, we have not yet transferred it. But the department is busy with PRASA on that area, on how to start transferring funds to PRASA.
Maybe before you proceed, don't you have an annual expenditure program, particularly capital expenditure program from PRASA, where you can be able to hold them accountable in the eventuality they are not spending? Because here we're talking 14 billion, which actually is sitting somewhere. When there are no trains here in the Western Cape, when there are the shortage of trains in Gauteng, and when the sleepers and the payway are challenged, what kind of monitoring mechanism do you have, an annual expenditure program from PRASA?
I've recently said that there's a committee that has been formed in the department, minister has signed, that there must be a capital committee program where there is PRASA, National Treasury, and the department. They started working on the spending from the capital side of PRASA on how do they move forward in terms of spending so that that area can be corrected of underspending.
Honorable Musinga, I thought you had a hand. This is a very pertinent and a burning issue.
Yes, Chair, apart from train sets that are needed nationally, if we reflect on the results of the Roadway Safety Regulator report, from in the past 9 months, from the 11th of January up until September the 30th, the number of manual train authorizations have increased from 35,000 to a total number of over 614,000, which talks about signal equipment that are failing. And as you might know, manual authorization is a sanction which the Railway Safety Regulator imposes on the transport service provider, in this case Metro Rail, if there is a substantial risk and therefore they are limited to only 30 kilometers per hour, which has all sorts of ripple effects on service delivery. So it's not just about train sets, but it's also about basic procurement processes, in that there are a huge need for a number of, I've seen the list of parts which is necessary to get the signal equipment up to a stage where they would get into a situation in getting less manual authorizations. But the current state of affairs is that there's over 614,000 manual train authorizations issued, which is increased tremendously. We're running at an average of 64,000 per month in the last 9 months. So there's serious intervention necessary to fix this.
And therefore it warrants the department acting DDG on rail to make sure that you up the stakes in terms of monitoring, particularly capital expenditure in PRASA. Continue.
We just wanted to add to Chairperson to what you just said. Insofar as this has been prioritized by the department, the performance of PRASA, we are putting more emphasis and focus on PRASA, the way they are performing, just to assist the new board to turn around the corner and make sure that all the prioritization in terms of infrastructure, the program that talks to the rehabilitation program, the revitalization of stations, as well as protecting and securing and our stations in its entirety. That is one of the programs that are now on the plan moving forward by PRASA. We are monitoring that one very, very close, including the report by RSR. We are monitoring that one so that there are no incidents that we just seen now and also ending up talking in on air about the issues that they have. So that is part of the bigger picture. We are monitoring that one very, very close at the Department of Transport. This team that has been established by the minister, which is between the Department of Transport, National Treasury, and ourselves, to implement those programs, it will be working well. It will be yielding results. So that is where we want to say to the committee, you need to work with us, especially on the vandalism of trains, because you put the new trains, but they burn them tomorrow. So that is where the problem we are having in terms of the whole system. But we have taken a priority to deal with the issues of PRASA, the turnaround plan of the board together with management of PRASA, and dealing with some other issues in terms of management at PRASA. I think it's going to be yielding good results as we speak right now. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mkonyama, sir.
Chairperson, Honorable Sibanye is out again. We went through this issue the other time, and he was also out at the time.
Maybe we should get other questions and wait while he comes back when you respond to the other questions.
I think so, because it's going to come back and it's going to come back again.
Yeah. Honorable Ramakrakan. Okay.
Okay. I would like maybe Prasad to talk. Oh, was it the TRMG? Oh, no, it was from Sibanye. So that's fine. You can wait.
Okay. Honorable Ramakrakan.
Well, thank you, Honorable Chair. I have three questions. One is the repeat of what has already been tested around the PRASA and PRASA payment. But the first one, Chair, is I just want to find out, SMDG, and this is also a repeat because I think it was asked by Honorable Seabe. There's a lot of language that goes like this, in terms of internal processes, internal processes. That's when you explain the non-achievable of targets. And some of it, you explain that there was a consultation. The point I want to ask is this internal, is this internal, the capacity, internal issues. Can you switch off this thing, please? This, I don't know what you've asked it to be switched off earlier.
I've requested it to be switched off. We'll just switch on and off just like that.
So the request, the room is, where are you going? It creates a problem for noise. This thing. Sorry, I was asking for the SMG, the capacity that you're talking about. Is it the capacity in terms of your own ability as in terms of warm bodies, or is it in relation to what this internal process is? Remember, we're dealing here with the 5-year strategic plan. This is something that has been thought through for 5 years. This is what we want to do. And this is that year in terms of the 5th year. So I'm struggling to comprehend this internal process due to that, which ended up with a non-delivery. What is actually the problem? I know that there was a problem with vacancies some time back. Now, I'm not sure whether this is got a link to that and how we're going to solve it. Because if it's a continuation, it will be continued again in the next quarter if we don't solve it. That's the first question. The second one is this about the transfer municipality expenditure. I had a look at the slide that the average is about 13%. Now, again, when you come to that, there may be various reasons, but the TMSA instruct you to help to assist those that you are transferring money to. So if they understand, you can't escape the fact that you are also equally failing, not them. So I'm just trying to find out in terms of what are you doing to make sure that municipality that are failing in terms of their percentage, in terms of drawdown, to help them to get to that point. Maybe it's their own capacity, maybe it's their own planning, maybe it's, I'm just asking what is it that you're doing as a transferring authority for them to be able to do that. Then when we come back to the PRASA withholding of the transfer, I know there's been a lot of discussion around that. I think perhaps chair on this, the point I want to make, maybe I am worried about the two things, the money in the bank, the under expenditure, and the money withheld that the department is holding. Now, because I don't know, maybe that will be a discussion that must have a plaza in the room, a joint discussion. Because you're saying that you only transfer the projected operational cost or cash flow, I don't know what that entails. I'm just sitting here and I'm asking this question. There's been a number of trains in the Western Cape that have been torched, that have been banned, that are parking in Salt River. Is there money? You remember we had a discussion with PRASA the last time. One thing that we said, Metro Rail in the Western Cape is running at about 50, where it's supposed to be running at 88 train sets. Now, if it's running at 50 and it's going down because of the problem, how are we going to arrest that situation? Is the money that we're talking about that is either in the bank or that is being kept in the departmental bank for that purpose? We asked the PRASA, if you're talking about maintenance, a range of targeted maintenance plan, it is not addressing the emergency. So there's an emergency that you need to have. In other words, you almost like need to run two programs on two tracks. While you have the normal maintenance that you're running, you have emergency one that you're running. That means you have to appoint the second contractor to be able to help you to get back onto the full steam, full capacity. I'm still waiting for the response. But are you going to be affected by PRASA inability to run those two tracks? Are you going to be accomplices, if you use the term of crime, in the crime of PRASA, or PRASA inability to do what they're supposed to do insofar as running emergency program? I mean, every now and then in Cape Town, there's a problem of trains, it's 2 hours, and there's this problem and that problem. And that will affect all of us negatively. In fact, I still receive an SMS. I don't know who, but anyway, my phone is in the website. So they send these SMSs about the trains that is not available. In that, what I'm saying, acting DG, in the summer, the money that you have kept in your bank, which you have not asked for drawdown, what is it for? What is it rent fence for? When you say CapEx, that is not spent, what is it that you're talking about? If the train, the wheels falls off, where will it fall off? Will it come out of what budget? Which earmark budget? Because if you don't request, you request a global. In the global, there are pieces of pockets of what the money will be earmarked for. So maybe, Chair, I don't think that you have all that detail about PRASA. If we don't have it, I think we should have the focused discussion. I'm really worried about that issue. We asked FRASA, they said they will send us a report by the 30th of October, the time they were here. One of the things that we asked is that exactly that issue. So what I want to know, Chair, and I've taken time here on this one, because maybe the department has their own analysis of what is going wrong. Because I don't, we must not create a perception of some punishment that takes place. Because anyway, you are the department that talk to Treasury. Treasury listen to you when you say don't send the money. What will happen to this money at the end of the financial year? The one that is sitting in a Treasury's account, which is being earmarked as part of 172 billion in the next 10 years of CASA. What's going to happen to it? Is it going to roll over, or is it going to be you don't use it, you lose it? Like that normally it's been used, the Treasury uses the tense. You don't use it, you lose it. So what's going to happen at the end of the day? I'm asking DG, are we on track with that program to meet this objective in the next 10 years with the budget, with all of everything that is happening? Or should we agree that there's a collapse, and if there's a collapse, there's still short on it? That's the hard question that comes to that for me.
Thank you very much. DG, in one of your presentations, you indicated that you are reviewing the funding to the 13 cities integrated public transport network grant. How far is this progress? How have you reorganized this funding? Can you is there assessment that has been done in terms of what is on the ground? Can you be able to just maybe indicate to us as to how are we doing? Because also remember last year September we had the hearings of the 13 cities, and it was not very bright a hearing. It was not very doom a hearing, but we are aware. Msunduzi, Bloemfontein, Rustenburg, you name it, Polokwane, that there are challenges, and hence we were informed that there will be a review in this regard. Also, on your green transport strategy, during October month, I believe you did something on the Green Transport Month, but in terms of your indication here, you're still having challenges. What are the challenges that are there? What is it that you're doing with regard to the challenges? But I'm worried, DG. In very many different on your presentation, there are internal processes which strangulate and delays progress with respect to most of the issues that you have termed yourself to be doing. Your quarterly targets therefore becomes very challenged because of the internal processes. Didn't you foresee these internal processes? Because we know that if it's a bill, probably you may need to leave it out until it has passed NEDLAC, and then you are able to put it in the following financial year. Because what really happens with the bills, ATMS and SACAR and AXA bill, they have been in the coming to Parliament for since 2015, if my memory serves me well. If you would recall, in several meetings thereafter when the bills were not coming, we ended up saying, particularly the SACAR bill, which has not arrived, we ended up saying, we will do a committee bill and go and put it, because you're strangulating progress of SACAR for it to can be able to comply with the international requirements. And what I'm saying is, Is it not possible that you are able to know that when you do something that actually is going to be including other sister departments, other public entities, can't you do it now, knowing very well that it's not supposed to be part of the targets of this financial year, but it can only be included once it has passed those, and then you are able to put it other than, it's very disgusting for us every time to be listening to internal processes which has strangulated and hampered progress in terms of you meeting the target. The last thing that I would want to say is that when you look at your report, we haven't gone into what is happening in the entities, but we know that there are serious challenges with the entities. Somebody has spoken to SAMHSA here, and I can be able to elaborate to say, when you have a bill that has not been passed and you're dealing with the PAKISA program, there is an indication that there are challenges. When they came to make a presentation, I mean, from the CEO is non-existent, the CFO is not there, and you expect that entity to can be able to really perform to the best of its abilities without key people having been appointed, and when the chairperson of the board of SAMHSA, Mr. Msimang, Mavuso Msimang, was indicating that as the board, we did everything that we could. We're just awaiting the powers that be for us to can be able to appoint the CEO. For 18 months that the CEO is not there, and 18 months down the line, we're still struggling. And I can be able to talk to other entities which are having a challenge. The AG has indicated the challenge of leadership, the challenge of governance, financial management. These are the critical things that when you look into our entities, you are able to see that we are found wanting. And I'm raising this because I anticipate that in the department, you've got people who are supposed to oversee these entities, but very, very little is being highlighted on most of these entities where we are found wanting. But sufficient to say, probably the minister will have to come and tell us how far has he progressed with respect to appointing the DGs, because it's acting, except for Matarata. It's just acting all the way. And Tina, we are tired of this acting Hollywood style of doing things in the Department of Transport. If you can respond, acting DG, and the acting CFO, and Mr. Mkonyam. Oh yes, Dr. Maisela, if you can, that will be the question that will be included amongst these things. Dr. Maisela?
Yeah, I want to know why today in their report, right, that they have submitted things in future, in 2020, instead of being objective and saying what, if I pick this up and read it, it doesn't make sense. Maybe because you are dealing with them daily, you understand what you're saying. If you say, for instance, shipping bills submitted to Parliament by March 2020, we are still not yet reached 2020. So most of that, maybe if you rewrite them properly so that we laymen, when we pick this up, it can make sense to us. And some of them you say you submitted, then on the other side it's not yet submitted, but on the other, as a target you have submitted. Maybe you are not careful in what you are writing. You just write first and then next time, if it's not, you just add on the other side, by the way, it's not yet submitted, and go on and on. It's confusing us.
We say it down. This is just exactly the concern I was trying to raise, but when you've just nailed it. DG? Acting.
Yeah, I think, yeah, acting DG. Thank you very much. I think, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and all our members. I think now that members are back, I think we need to start from there where we ended, so that we conclude the inputs. I would request my colleague Mokonyama and Prasan to take us through the questions that were raised earlier on, and then we'll come back and deal with the rest. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, DJ.
Thank you.
DJ. Honorable Chair, there's an issue on the tax recap. But perhaps the targets are supposed to be put in the desired outcome state, and that's all of them, and that's the format to write them. So the desired status by 2020 is that the bill should have been submitted. All of them, if you read them, that's the type of the language that we use, and it's the template. It's not that we say it is submitted in the future. Okay, it's fine. We'll just elaborate more, probably, maybe. But if 100% of them are written like that, then that's how targets are written, in a future desired outcome format. The tax recap. Honorable Chairperson, tax recap is the capital subsidy that is given to the taxi operators in the absence of an operational subsidy. Now, when the program was started, 100,000 taxis were targeted. The old CIRs and the likes. Then the department went back to cabinet in 2009 and said, with the current money that we are getting, we won't finish within 7 years. But we have also realized that there are additional vehicles. We are now sitting at 135,000. And cabinet said, go and scrap until the last vehicle is scrapped. You will not get any extra cent. Meaning then that this program will not have an end date come year 7, but can only find conclusion when the last vehicle of the 135,000 has been scrapped. So the program will not die now, Chairperson, because we still have scraps out there. It's even worse now because the uptake is not as enthusiastic as in the initial phases. But and that is why in other stages we intervene by increasing the scraping allowances and to ensure that the taxi operators are able to afford the new vehicles, which have risen from about 115,000 in 2007 to 582 in today's prices. And that makes it very difficult to then acquire new vehicles. But the new program and the new recap has got the value chain issues with it, in that they will be able to then participate in retail installations, fuel, tires, batteries, and related services. That all of them are as a result of, as part of a taxi service to the user. So we're finalizing, unfortunately, you will say internal processes, but we're finalizing the procurement of the new contract of the taxi recap, which is much more improved than the initial one. Now, I really wanted to indicate that it is not the intention. In fact, we went to cabinet in December and they said continue. We do not intend ending it now. But there is this process of the acting director general that they spoke about, of reforming the public transport system, in particular targeting the different funding streams and consolidating them into one to ensure that we then draw efficiencies out of a consolidated pot of funding sources, because there is no indication that we'll get new money or new additional money, but we then want to make sure that we derive more with the little that we have. And that talks to the issue of reviewing the whole issue of the 13 cities, Honorable Chair, in terms of the solutions we want to put in there. We can safely say that we are reviewing the interventions, and the one-size-fits-all is no longer going to work. The cities that you have just mentioned, Chair, almost all of them fall into the categories where we would want them to go straight into operations. What they need is buses, and then we reduce on infrastructure and BRT systems. Now, coupled with that is this issue of the municipalities and the funding. Chair, we came here, and the complaint was that, the concern was that you don't seem to be knowing what is happening to the money that you transfer to these municipalities. Now we are sitting very, very closely to the processes. We just do not do things for them or procure for them. But where there are issues of non-compliance, we withhold the money. Now, this is where now you see certain areas not spending, because we don't transfer if there's serious non-compliance with the conditions that we set with the municipalities. So, Chair, there will be those that will be coming to you and complaining about that we do not transfer. We are stifling service delivery, but essence of the matter would be that we want them to do the right things, to spend in the right area. If you look at quarter two, the money that we withheld primarily, we withheld money from Bombela, we withheld money for Tshwane because of the challenges there. And then we have written notices to Rustenburg, Mangaung, and we have already returned them notices to say why shouldn't we withhold money. So if the money is not going to be, we suspect that it is, or we have proof that it's being misused, we are going to cut the tab. Unfortunately, if there are no improvements up until the end of the financial year, those monies will be lost. Into the revenue fund. But we want to believe that between now and the end of the financial, we will work very closely with them to ensure that they comply and do the right things. I think those were the questions that were directed and came into my space. Yeah, and unfortunately some of these monies are what you call specific and earmarked allocation. Now, because they are then returned into law by and approved by yourself, Chairperson, it's very difficult to then take it say so to buy more buses. It is very difficult to do those kind of shifts, more especially this year. But at the end of financial years, you can be able to then influence that kind of a process. Thank you very much.
Are we getting value for money?
Chair, where according to assessment, we're not getting value for money, that's where we withhold funding. We keep it. We don't transfer that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think let me allow Prasanth to respond to the. But I know that Timo Konyama has touched on the monitoring at the broader space. But there was an issue about the PRMG, which we needed also to touch on, so that we close this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first, actually, there were two issues. The first one is about the low visibility on our road safety. So I just want to mention that we do have a calendar of events, which is part of the 365-day road safety program. we take note and we'll intensify our efforts and profile these activities so that we are more visible and we can make that impact. Just to report, this past weekend, there was the launch of the festive season road safety campaign in Limpopo province, which included a two-day road safety summit, and it all commemorated with the activity for the to remember the those who passed away in road accidents, World Remembrance Day. So the other point was on the PRMGs. We take note of the weaknesses cited in monitoring and evaluation, and we will address it. But I just want to mention that monitoring and evaluation is a general problem in government because of the ability to retain staff. There's a very high turnover of technical staff, but we will deal with that on an ongoing basis. What is more important is about the concern you raised about the level of service on the road, which is indicative of the potholes and things like that. The first comment is that we must realize that currently the level of funding is too low in provinces. That is why if you look into our provincial road maintenance grant, the big intervention is we are pushing for the implementation of road asset management system so that we can use the software optimization tools to select and prioritize projects so that we can optimize on the expenditure. But more serious concern that I would like to flag here is that the level of funding of provinces has been gradually declining. As we are trying to increase the intervention by increasing the provincial road maintenance grant, the response from provinces, they are actually reducing their own budget. So the net effect is the same level of funding is being maintained. And that is a concern and contributes to the level of service for road maintenance. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the last 5 minutes because members still have to go to Parliament at 2.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just the last one for us is, I know this matter has been requested from us to clarify by quite a number of honourable members in terms of the capacity issues with respect to internal processes and the delays. I think we did highlight earlier on coming from Honourable Siabi in terms of what is it that we are dealing with, we are addressing the issues of vacancies, especially both on the entity side as well as within the department. I think part of it, that is a problem for us in terms of the capacity. Acting is not a healthy arrangement, as you can see. So we are happy that the process has started to appoint the leadership at SDG level. So we are happy with that. And also firming up the appointments of the governance issues around the entities, all 12 of them. I think we are happy that it's moving very fast. But on the issue of the PRASA and the turnaround strategy and the performance of PRASA, I'm happy that there has been an indication that there was a report that was submitted by PRASA, and also I know that sometime next week we are meeting with PRASA just to engage with them on the turnaround strategy and also to engage on issues of the plans that they put forward to see how far they've gone with that. So as part of our responsibility, we'll also be part of that so that we can also assist in making sure that they are equal to the task in terms of talking to the issues of performance and upping their games in terms of performance. So with that, we want to thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. We thank you very much, and Honourable Members. Thank you.
Honourable Siabi, the last take.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is a comment. It doesn't necessarily need a response. Just to say, I think it's a response coming from the head. Then I would say the performance indicators are not well written.
Yep.
But it's a debate we can take in the future.
Thank you very much. It goes to what Dr. Maisela has just said.
if you know that you're going to be doing issues 2021, bring them as a target. Those are the issues that needs a thorough engagement going forward. On that note, honourable members, you can go and have lunch. The house starts at 2 o'clock. The meeting is adjourned. Mahal.
Thank you. Yeah.